day.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And y'all need to remember what the Lord says when he says it. After the Lord moved last Sunday, he told us that the enemy was going to meet us at our house to try to steal what the Lord had already done. Amen. And I want you to know that your husband was the first one to get prayer last Sunday. He was the first one to fall to his knees.
Amen.
He was the first one to fall to his knees. He wasn't even no preaching last Sunday. Amen. It was just altar call. Amen. It was just altar call. And so whenever the Lord moves like that, that's why Pastor T said it, because you can expect that the enemy is going to be mad with what the Lord is trying to do. Because he wants to steal whatever kind of encouragement, whatever kind of faith, whatever kind of word that the Lord implants. The devil says, uh-oh, I have to do my job, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. He tries to take that thing. Amen. Amen. But God. Amen. But God. And so I want to connect, amen, I thank God for the testimony, because I want to connect, amen, that testimony to the word that God has given me today, and he's given me the title, Shapeable. And so I know a lot of you were not here on last Sunday, but before any prayer went forth, God wasn't praying if we didn't hit our knees. Everybody in this church was on their knees. Amen. And it was something about how God was instructing. So the first person to get prayer was your husband. He was standing right here, and God said, fall on your knees. Fall on your knees. And he fell to his knees. Amen. But I can imagine for some of us, we want to come to the altar, but we don't want to, that falling to that knees part, some of us won't even go to the altar up here before church start, right? Because there's something about the power of the Lord that makes you actually lay your pride aside and fall to your knees. And I want to connect that thought today to this title, Shapeable. Amen. Isaiah 64:8 says that the Lord, he says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art the potter. And that's where I'm going to be spending most of my time. I need y'all to understand that analogy. I need you to understand that God is the potter. We are the clay. That implies that we are supposed to be shapeable. God is supposed to be able to mold us and do with us whatever he wants to. Right? And so I'm going to be in the book of Jeremiah. This thought, this idea that God can do with us whatever he wants to do, it runs throughout scripture. It's in the book of Jonah. It's in the book of Matthew. It's in Isaiah. It's in Jeremiah. This idea that we are supposed to be shapeable and that God can do whatever he wants to do with his hand. He can put you in the hospital if he needs to teach you a lesson. He can cause you to lose your job or go through financial difficulty if that's what he wants to use to shape you. He can use grief to shape you. He can use success to shape you. He can use your job to shape you, your children to shape you. This thought runs throughout scripture. We are supposed to be shapeable. So when Jeremiah is saying this in the 18th chapter, I need you to understand the context. God's people had got to the point where they were no longer shapeable. They had gotten to the point where they would say whatever they wanted to do, and that's how it was going to be, even though God was saying something else. They didn't choose to believe the report of the Lord. They wanted to believe the report of what they thought, what was in their heart, whatever imagination they came up with. They chose to believe that. And so in the 18th verse, in the 18th chapter, excuse me, the Lord gave Jeremiah another message. He said, go down to the potter's shop and I will speak to you there. So I did as he told me, and I found the potter working at his wheel. So if you ever seen a person doing pottery, there's a wheel that spins. The clay is moist, and they just spins this wheel, and they shape it, and they make pots or bowls or cups or whatever they're going to do. Jeremiah found the potter at his wheel. But the jar that he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Sometimes when you are not turning out how God wanted you to turn out, when you are not living up to the purpose and the call that was on you before you was yet in your mother's womb, please understand that God has the right to start over. And you are supposed to be shapeable. You are supposed to be like clay in his hand. When he sees stuff ain't turning out how he thought it should go. See, sometimes we get caught up because it ain't turning out how we thought it was going. How we wanted this. My life, I'm 30 and it ain't turning out how I thought it was going. But God has the power. He's the one. He's the potter. You're not the potter. He's the potter. And he can start over whenever he wants to. The Lord then gave me this message, and he says, he turns, Jeremiah turns to the people, and he says, oh, Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to the clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. God is asking a question. And y'all understand, when God asks a question, it's not because he wants you to get him the answer. He already know the answer. He's asking you a question to get you to think. So after he shows Jeremiah this potter and this clay, he says, now turn to the people and ask them this question. Can I not do to you? Can God not do to you what the potter does to that clay? Can he not just all of a sudden say, I'm getting ready to start over? Everything you thought you knew about me. Yes, I thought you, I guess you probably thought marriage was going to go this way. I'm about to reset this thing. Yes, I know you thought you was going to be rich by now, but I'm about to reset this thing. Right? Because something in us, something in the people did not turn out like God intended. So God say, can't I just, when I choose, start over? Now, let me tell you about something. It's easier to reshape the clay when it's wet. Right? Right? But if God was to build a pot, if he was to make something, and it gets all hard, if your heart is not shapeable, but it gets all hard, the only way that God can remake it at that point is to break it, is to grind it to dust, and to start all over, to grind it all the way back to dirt. You don't want to get it. That's not what you want. You don't want to have to be a vessel that has to be totally broken and ground down for God to stay to start over. You want to remain shapeable. Because once that thing gets formed wrong and hardened, it's harder to start over. Once you harden your heart to what God is trying to do in your life, it's harder for him to work with you. It's harder for him to work with you. Isaiah says it a different way in Isaiah 45, verses 9 through 12. It says, what sorrow awaits for those who argue with their creator. How y'all think that conversation gonna go? You and God in a room and you arguing with God. What makes us think that we right? What makes us think that we know more? What makes us think that we can turn to him and say, God, this ain't how it's supposed to be? What sorrow, right? You ain't gonna do nothing but make yourself sad. What sorrow awaits for those who argue with their creator? I'm not talking about asking God for clarity. I'm not talking about asking God for instruction. I'm not talking about sitting with God and having a conversation. I'm talking about when we have made up in our mind that it's going to be our way. And we want to go back and forth with the Lord. At that point, we're no longer shapeable. It says, does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? Does the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? How terrible it would be for a newborn baby to say to its father, why was I born? Or if it said to its mother, why did you make me this way? Y'all understand that we do that, right? We do that. We argue with God and we start saying, well, why my parents had to die? Well, I got to be the one to go through this. Why X, Y, and Z? Like, why all these questions? We want to argue with God as if it's God that introduced sin into the world. If it is God that made every wrong decision in our life. It was him. It was him doing that Romans 8:28 stuff, still allowing good to happen to us, even though we are in the wrong. But we want to sit there and argue. This is what the Lord says. The Holy One of Israel and your Creator, do you question what I do for my children? Ask yourself that today. Are you questioning what he's doing to your husband? Right? Do you sit there and question? I guarantee you, whatever it is that God is doing to anybody that you love, even when he takes them, even when you're saying, well, why my mama the last one standing? Why all her brothers and sisters dying and she the only one left out of 12? Right? Why my daddy wasn't there for me? Right? Please understand that, God. We love to quote these scriptures out of context. We love that Jeremiah 29:11, but y'all got to understand that 29:11 came, it was 28 chapters before that. And God was trying to understand that after all that they had been through, that God had a plan, that he had a hope, that he had a future for them. But in order to get to that, they had to remain shapeable. They had to turn to God. They had to stop worshiping idols. We love to quote that scripture, but you got to understand, in order to get to the hope part, God is trying to shape you or make you or do something to you. And a lot of times, because of us, the only way to get to that thing is through pain. Because it's sad to say, that's the only thing that some of us respond to. The only time we think about dying is when somebody dies. We live our life like we got all the time in the world doing whatever we want to do. But the only time we think about going to heaven or living right for Jesus is when we at the funeral. And then why did you have to take my mama? Because your mama was an idol. You wouldn't have thought about death unless I took your mama. You wouldn't have thought about turning to me unless you lost that baby. You wouldn't have thought about getting your health together until I put you in the hospital. You wouldn't have thought about wasting time until I slow you down so you can't go to that job no more. Because that's the only thing that some of us respond to. We think everything is all right. Please, y'all understand, these people thought everything was all right. They could not, in their mind, they could not imagine how, if we are God's chosen people, how is Jerusalem going to be destroyed? That didn't make no sense. To some of us, it's like, how could these things happen to me? I go to church. I'm God's chosen people. But how are you living when no one is looking? What do you spend the majority of your time doing? Where is your heart really? That's enough. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful. We love to quote these scriptures, but understand why God is saying this to his people. That 12th verse says, I am the one who made the earth and created people to live on it. With my hands, I stretched out the heavens, and the stars are at my command. This man makes the earth and all the planets revolve around the sun. He speaks to darkness and says, let there be light. You don't think he can shape us? You don't think that he's in control? You don't think that God can do whatever he wants to do? Y'all, please understand what clay actually is. Clay is dirt. The word tells us, if we go to Genesis, the word tells us that we were formed, that Adam was made from the dust of the earth. That's all that we are. This right here, this flesh, this thing that we try to satisfy with so much of our, it's just dirt. It is a temporary shell. This is a temporary home. All of this stuff, all the things that you worship and we spend all our time trying to do is not the creator. All of this stuff is created things. The money, cars, clothes, hair, nails, all this stuff we care so much about. All is created things. None of this stuff gonna last. We put so much time into our body, but we gonna get a new one, right? The only reason we are told to care for and shepherd this temple, this body that we in, is so that while we are here, we can give glory to God. He's just simply saying, steward for 90 years if we live that long. Steward for 90 years this thing that I've given you. But I'm going to give you another one when it's time for eternity. Right? Just take care of it for this short amount of time. Use it in a way that brings me honor versus making me look bad. Right? Keep it pure. Keep it holy. It's about a mindset. A lot of us don't understand. You think that people are giving you rules just to give you rules. No, it's about a mindset. It's about how you use the things of God. Your body being the most important thing. It's about a mindset. God, everything that you have given me, I'm going to care for it in a way that brings you glory and brings you honor. But we want to show everybody our body, right? We want to share, but we let everybody use our body, right? We put things into our body that don't belong in our body. But then we say we love the Lord. God is using this. He could have done anything that he wanted to draw us back. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed, understand this is the mindset. He had given them free reign to everything that he had created. Matter of fact, he said, y'all are in charge of it. Everything that I made, y'all are in charge of it. But that wasn't good enough for them. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to be like God. It wasn't good enough that they had everything. Don't you know that you got everything in Christ Jesus? How much does he have to do for you? How much does he have to do for you before you say, Lord, I belong to you. Shake me, mold me, however you want to use me, use me. How much does he have to do for you? He gave him everything, but it wasn't enough. So he said, if y'all don't want to listen to me, if you don't want to be shaped by my hand, right? The wages of sin is death. You want to do it your way, have it your way. And so that's how sin entered the world. And so then we start to wrestle with this sin. We start to wrestle with this sin. And it becomes to the point where sin becomes the thing that starts to shape us and not the spirit. The flesh is the thing that starts to control us and tell us what to do and not the spirit. Lord, I thank you. We got to yield to the Spirit. In Matthew chapter 20, when Jesus was telling the parable, he was telling the parable about the workers in the field. And one person had them worked all day and somebody came on the last hour and they both got paid the same thing. Jesus used this same thought that God is using in Jeremiah. Is it against the law for me to do with my money what I want to? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? So those who are last now will be first, then those who are first will be last. Jesus is saying God can do whatever he wants to do. We spend so much time trying to figure out why this person got that or why this got to happen to me. God is saying just be shapeable. Just be shapeable. Whatever comes your way, be like Paul, whether you are base or you are bound. Right? Be content. We be all talking about we don't have enough. You homeless? How you don't have enough and y'all got two cars? How you don't have enough and you got electricity? How you don't have enough and you ain't living under a bridge? How you ain't got enough and y'all be going on vacation? Right? God told us that during this season to separate ourselves mentally, financially, physically, right? Sexually, separate ourselves from all these things that are trying to kill us. In essence, he's saying, be shapeable in this season. Everything that you're saying you can't live without, is that actually the truth? No, you don't want to live without a cell phone, but could you? Yes, you could. No, you don't want to live without two cars, but could you? Yes, you can. No, you don't want to buy sneakers from Walmart, but could you? Yes, you could. It's all idolatry. It's all idolatry. And then they try, on the other hand, they trying to wonder, why can't I be blessed? Because God says you want who you say you are. You say you my people. Why do you think he has to say if those who are called by my name will turn? Why do you think he has to say that? Because those who are being called by his name have gone away from him. So he has to say to them, if you would turn, I would heal the land. He wouldn't have to say it if we had walked away. Jeremiah says, God is saying through Jeremiah in the 18th chapter, the 7th verse, he says, if I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, or destroyed, but that nation renounces its evil ways, I will not destroy it as I had planned. This is so, the word is so good. When we think about the time that we are living in and everything that's happening in this country, I don't care what Trump do. Right? It don't matter. I don't care. It wasn't that much better when Obama was in office. It don't matter. You go all the way back to George Washington if you want to. God is telling right now. God is saying right now through Jeremiah, I make leaders rise, I make leaders fall. He used Nebuchadnezzar. He used Nebuchadnezzar to shape his people. He used Pharaoh to shape his people. He uses whoever he wants to use. He said, I'm going to let them do whatever they're going to do for a time. And then when I get ready, when my people cry out, when I get ready, then I will deliver. That's what he says it right here. And this is what Jonah was angry about. Jonah says, all right, God sent Jonah to preach to Nineveh. And then when Nineveh turned, Jonah was mad because he wanted God to get him. This is the same thing that Cain and Abel is talking about. God says, why are you mad? If you would just do right, wouldn't I turn my anger from you? All God is trying to get us to understand with whatever we are going through is that we need to be shapeable. Y'all understand. When you're trying to raise your children, when you're trying to work in the classroom, when you're trying to get something done, it always goes easier when you can get somebody to agree. This is what Amos is talking about. How can two walk together unless they be right? It's always easy. Your life would be so much easier if you would just agree with God. If you would just agree with the report of the Lord. Right? It's like trying to swim against the current. If you are calm, it's like trying to cut against the grain. When you cut with the grain, it goes easier. When you cut against the grain. It's just like, let me break it down. It's just like when you try to comb your hair in the wrong direction that you ain't used to combing it in. It hurt a little bit more. You got to go with the direction that God is going in. But so many of us, we don't want to be shapeable. God sent Jonah to do a job, and Jonah wasn't prepared for the people to actually be shapeable. He had gotten so used to the people not listening, he wasn't prepared for Nineveh to turn. And then he was like, right? He wasn't prepared. He was like, but God, you made me get swallowed in the belly of the fish because I wasn't disobeying. But these people weren't disobeying. You going to let them off? You hunted me down to get me to do, right? You made me go through things to get me to do what you wanted me to do. How are you going to let these people off? Because these people repented. These people didn't run from me. They heard the word that you gave, and they were shapeable. They were shapeable. Nothing is going to change in your life until you allow God to do whatever it is that he's trying to do. God told Jeremiah to tell the people. He said if he's getting ready to tear something down, do y'all understand what he's saying in that verse? He's saying, if I'm getting ready to destroy something, I can change my mind. Just like that. I can change my mind. God can change his mind about something concerning you if you're shapeable. He can change his mind because he's the potter. He doesn't have to wait till next year. He can change something. Something might be coming for you next year. You can't even see it yet. It's coming for you. It's coming like that health scare is coming for you next year. That financial difficulty is coming for you next year. You can't even see it, but God can change his mind about that thing today. And it won't even touch you. In the ninth verse, he says, if I announce that I will plan and build up a certain nation, a kingdom, but then that nation turns evil and refuses to obey me, I will not bless it as I said it would. And it works in the opposite direction too. You can have a blessing on the way for you. It can be a year away. Your breakthrough a year away. That's how the promised land could be 11 days away. It could be 11 days away. It could be right there. The season, everything getting ready to change. But so many times we make decisions without consulting God. We move too quick because we want it right now. We can't wait 11 more days. Right? And then we start reaching out and trying to, we push the potter's hand out of the way and say, let me shape myself. Let me mold myself. Let me start networking. Let me start connecting. Let me start trying to do all of these things. And just like that, the blessing that God had waiting on us in the future, he can take it away. And you may say, Lord, that's so mean. Why would you do that? Because he knows that anything that you put before him is an idol. And he knows that if he blesses you while you still walking in evil, you're going to go through life thinking, well, I got to be good. I got to be good. Everything is going my way. And I'm doing, y'all don't know how many times I hear somebody, if I say I don't do something, they say, well, my pastor do it. Well, I know such and such. The people go to church and they be doing it. I know, I get it. This is a lonely walk. Yeah, and a lot of the time we think it ain't that serious. When we got ready to have that social and I say we're gonna be no boots on the ground, that's just a song, Pastor. Let's go listen to the word and tell me if you were sitting in the room with Jesus, y'all put that on and Jesus gonna be right there popping the fan with you. Would Jesus pop the fan with you? Tell me. We do all the things that we say ain't that serious. We just living life. All the things that we say are not that serious. And in the grand scheme of things, yes, grace, yes, mercy. But I want to try to live it out the way I know. It wasn't even about me. You know what I thought about? And I don't know why the Lord is sending me down this road, but I'm glad he is. You know what I thought about? I thought about the person who would come to the spring picnic, who only been saved for a month and was popping the fan in the club last week. And now they at the church picnic and pastor out there dancing too. And now they are confused about, well, If I was doing it in the club and they doing it in the church, then is it okay? It ain't even about me. Even though I'm dancing to the Christian song, what I'm doing, it ain't even about me. It's about staying away from the appearance of evil. Y'all got to understand that when God says shapeable, that thing does not stop until you out of this flesh. He doesn't stop shaping us until we are out of this flesh. I'm coming in. I'm getting done. So in the 11th verse, I'm skipping Samuel. I got 1 Samuel 2 and 30, I'm skipping that. And that just talks about how God had this tribe. He had this tribe of Levi. He had these people that were always supposed to be his priests, but he replaced them. He replaced them because they were no longer shapeable. And so by the time we get to Jeremiah 18, verses 11 to 12, it says, therefore, Jeremiah, go and warn all Judah and Jerusalem, say to them, this is what the Lord says. I am planning disaster for you instead of good. So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and do what is right. But the people replied, don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want to, stubbornly following our own evil desires. The number 18 means opposition. The number 11 means rebel. The number 12 means divine authority. God says, I am planning disaster for you instead of good. And we might stop right there and say, dang. But he says right after that, turn from your evil ways, each of you, and do what is right. God says, if you, right, the word says that God's goodness, y'all understand this, that his goodness should lead to repentance. But is that the thing that really make people give their life to the Lord most of the time? Most of the time, it's the pain. Most of the time, it's the abuse. Most of the time, you tired of living and seeing how you were living, and you just like you ready to give up. But that was never the intent. The intent wasn't to make you suffer and then turn to the Lord. The intent was that you would see how good he is and say, God, because you're so good, I want to live for you. But most of us won't turn. We won't turn without the pain. We won't. We don't turn until it hurts to the point where we like, Lord, we got to cry out. That's what the Israelites, they were fine in slavery. They were fine in slavery. Right? They even begged to go back to it until it hurt bad enough. Then when it hurt bad enough, they cried out. And God was like, I ain't intend for y'all to stay in Egypt that long, no way. That was never my intention. Y'all were just supposed to go there, wait the 7 years until the famine was out, and then go on back to the promised land. He said, I just made a way for y'all when times was hard. I just sent you somewhere to make a way for you to cover you, because I'm good to you. But y'all want to get caught up in the world and you want to stay there. Lord, I thank you. I'm done. Shapeable. He's the potter, y'all. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care if you think, oh, it ain't that bad. It ain't that serious. What does the word say? What is God saying to your heart? What is he saying to your heart? Maybe he ain't give pastor the same instructions that he gave you. You got to listen to what the Lord is telling you to do. He's the potter. Pastor ain't the potter. Your wife ain't the potter. Your boss ain't the potter. Your children ain't the potter. He's the potter. You're supposed to be the clay. So whatever he want to use, I'm pretty sure he told your husband to get his health in check before now, right? Right? I'm pretty sure the Lord done told some of y'all to stand firm and stand fast long before the money ran out. I'm pretty sure the instructions came to cut people off long before they betrayed you, long before they hurt you, long before they got you cut up and caught up. I'm pretty sure the instructions came long before that thing broke you. But we don't want to listen. We don't want to listen. We want to go through it and then hope and pray that God gonna make a way anyway. That's not fair to God. Be shapeable. There should be nothing that he asks you to do that's too much, that's too hard for you to do. Amen. Hold the shape and mold.